teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley, and I am here after the disappointing 72-60 loss to the Ohio State Buckeyes. Fighting Illini had a horrific first half. We've been seeing more of these than we'd like. They came back, made it close in the second half, but it takes a lot of energy to turn that around. And Ohio State was athletically gifted enough to push the Illini back and take control of the game and close it out in convincing fashion. We will be talking to Brad Sturdy. He is one of the Illini guys. And, of course, we will have Kedrick Prince, the director of recruiting for the Illini guys, who will be talking with us as well. So it will be an interesting podcast after a game that we have been worried about. If you've been listening to Eye on the Illini or the Illini guys Sports Spectacular, we have constantly talked about Ohio State being a team that we liked better than they've played this year, and we were worried that they would have that one game that they put it all together, and we unfortunately saw it tonight against, or today against, the Illini. So with that said, let's get over to a commercial break, and then we will bring in Brad and Ked.
At Busey Wealth Management, we're proud to partner with individuals, families, and foundations, ensuring possibilities become achievements. From preserving and enhancing your assets to securing your legacy for future generations, we're focused on your success. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
So, Brad, we had a game that... You know, people who've listened to Eye on the Illini, we've all kind of talked about Ohio State being physically talented, and we were nervous about this game for quite some time. And then the first half came, and we saw a replay of multiple games this year. What the heck is going on with the first half starts?
Well, once again, you have Thornton going off in the first half. Illinois lacking any kind of energy. They didn't rebound in the first half. They didn't attack the basket. They just, you know, and I get it. Like, I mean, I get that their teams are taking away drives because they are going to make them shoot threes because they can't shoot. I mean, and this is the situation. But at the same time, if you can't shoot, you can get those shots. And I know this sounds crazy, but if they don't get anything in transition, you can get those shots late in the shot clock if you need to. Same shot. Try and run some stuff where you get some. But instead, they take one pass threes that are contested. And it's just not good. And even if they're not contested, they don't make them. So it really doesn't. It's just – it's kind of pathetic. In fact, they probably make more contested ones than they do uncontested ones. In fact, that's what the numbers would show. But it's just really – it's really sad because this team has a lot of individual talent, but they don't put it all together. They have a lot of guys who can create a shot whenever they want to, but then they don't put it together. They have guys who are really good individual defenders, but their team defense isn't great. And I think, you know, some of that comes to our game planning is not what it needs to be. Like, they need to do a better job, perhaps changing something. They play the same defense all the time. I mean, they switched in the second half. When they start switching on all the screens, you notice that Ohio State went through about a 6 or 7 minute period where they could not do anything offensively in the second half. A lot of that was because Illinois changed the way they were defending. And I think sometimes then they adjust and they make the changes, and then they made some shots. Well, why not do that to start a game? Do something a little different. And I think teams got used to Illinois switching all the time early, and that's all they did. And then now they get used to Illinois not switching, I guess, and they're playing the way the drop coverage and all these things. And it's just different, and it's very frustrating to see them consistently just start out poorly and not have that energy and effort that they need.
My thing is, I agree, Brad. I want to see something different. I said this last time, and I just press. You know what? The one time they did it, they get a, you know, they get a 10-second violation call. You have another person on your roster, Luke Goody. So the depth is not an issue. Yes, Sky Clark is gone. You have to try to come out in these slow starts. This is like the Northwestern game. You let teams come in. You let another guy get going. Today it was Thornton. And this is game after game. It's the same thing. I mean, it's frustrating. And I'm going to call a spade a spade. They can't shoot. They can't. When you shoot 36% from the field against a team that had won 1 of 14 games, lost 9 in a row, you shoot 20% from three, just chucking up shots. I mean, I'm struggling with this. They launched 29 three-pointers today. 29. And I'm sorry. If they go to the tournament right now, I mean, I don't know if they're going to get to the second weekend. I don't know if they'll even get out of the first game because teams are going to make them shoot the basketball. And they're going to make them not become one-dimensional. And, excuse me, make them one-dimensional. It's very frustrating because this is, you cannot come out this flat. National TV, and I mean, I knew I didn't want to say anything. I knew they had a chance to at least finish first, second, or third tie. And then today you peed on your leg. It was frustrating. It's hard for fans to stomach this because of the success that they've had on the road. You couldn't get stops, guys shooting bad shots, guys soaking ahead. And I'll end with this one. I don't know. Dane Danger has to figure this out. He's too good of a player to not be on the floor. He is. Some of those second chance points that they got, because you couldn't play him. I mean, I get it. I understand it. But that hurt because, you know, he's a better rebounder than Coleman. Coleman's playing great. He's a better rebounder than Matthew Meyer and Terrence Shannon. But you can't put him on the floor. He never saw the floor in the second half.
Well, his foot speed is an issue. And it's also clear that he doesn't really understand the principles of team defense. I think his one-on-one defense is okay. You know, he has limitations of foot speed. But when it comes to rotations for help, how many times have we seen him kind of half turn and watch guys go layups that he should have been a step over, to try to contest the shot or eke take the charge? So I think Dane is – I think he's almost proving right now in his development he's still kind of a backup center. He's not really the guy you can have out there for 30 minutes. And other teams, now they've figured it out, and they're spreading the floor. And the same reason he's struggling is the same reason Kofi can't play in the NBA. You know, it's just that a little bit of foot speed. I'm not saying that he's a sunk cause or anything like that, but boy, it's frustrating right now. Brad, how does a team get 9 rebounds in a whole half and then get 10 in the first 4.5 minutes of the second half?
Well, that's easy. Ohio State didn't miss any shots in the first half.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you can't get rebounds of non-misses. I mean, Ohio State shot what? In the first half, I was looking at this. Their first half, they shot 17 of 28. They missed 11 shots in the first half.
Yeah, and they were at 70% at one time.
Yeah, I mean, they shot 61%. So there's not many rebounds to get when they don't miss. And they didn't attack the offensive glass very well. They only had one offensive rebound. So that's why how you get 9 rebounds. If they never miss, they didn't miss a free throw, and they missed only 11 shots the entire first half. There's not many rebounds to get. On the other hand, Ohio State had an opportunity to get a lot of rebounds because Illinois missed a lot of shots. They were 11 of 30, so they missed 19 shots plus 3 free throws. That's 22 options to get opportunities to get a rebound. So, and they get, you know, where you have the inside position. And so, yeah, it wasn't good. I thought in the second half, though, they were more active, and they did a much better job. In the second half, they out-rebounded Ohio State 19-17. Still, I would say the second chance points still hurt a little bit there. Illinois did get 10 second chance points in the game, and Ohio State had 11, though. So you lose that battle, and that was supposed to be one of the keys for Illinois, was to be able to do that. But at the end of the day, it all comes down to, you know, I get Ked saying, they have to. They can't shoot as many threes. They can't shoot. I get it, but that's what teams are going to give them. And so you're going to have guys on the floor like that are so – you have so many guys like Ty Rogers and Sincere Harris are very limited. They can't shoot the ball from outside of, you know, a short distance. Jaden Epps was 1 for 6 from three. He's now shooting an some abysmal percentage over the last, 10 games or so. It's just insane. At one point it was 5%. He was like 1 for 20 over a stretch, yeah. And this continues this. Terrence Shannon 0 for 3. Neil Hawkins hit 2 out of 5. I didn't think Coleman Hawkins was bad today. I thought he was okay.
He was active.
He was active, but he still, he turned the ball over 3 times. He, defensively, I thought he was just okay. I thought the game started off, and I said to my, I looked at the person next to me, and I said this. Literally, they're up 5-0. Hawkins makes his second steal, right? And he takes it away. He goes down, and he misses the layup. And I'm like, that is Illinois in a nutshell right there. And sure enough, it's 5-0, and the next thing you know, they're down. Before you can say nice Brad. And then there were situations like they just do a lot of silly things. I remember the one play in the second half was just there were like a stretch in the second half. You had twice when guys fell down. Hawkins fell down and Meyer fell down. They tripped like over their own feet. Yep. Then you had a play where Harris literally ran for a steal and he was 10 feet from getting to the guy and it leaves open a wide open three, which it's like, and I don't even think that guy made it, but the point is like they got the offensive rebound, everything's chasing, whatever. It's just, it's the kind of stuff that they just can't do. The mental side of this game, they just really don't understand basketball very well. And they got a lot of individual talent, but they don't have a group of guys who are cohesive as a unit. And that hasn't changed. And the hope was that that would get better as the season went on. Guys kind of found their own. It hasn't. And they are what they are. So,
no, and
I will say this, one thing, Ohio State's not as bad as people make them out to be. People say, oh, they've lost 9 in a row. They have talent. Those are talented dudes. And they have some
physical.
They're physical. When they play, they've just lost a lot of games down the stretch. That's why you kind of expected when Illinois cut it to 1, Ohio State would have folded. And probably if they're at Illinois, Ohio State would have folded. But at home, they kind of fought through it and were able to get the win. So I think that's what you got to look at. But it's a bad loss for Illinois.
It's a bad loss. And at one point, Brad, to your point, they were ranked in the top 25 at one point in the season. I mean, and not preseason. So the talent's there, but still makes no excuse for how bad Illinois is playing. My thing is with the shooting, then that's what Dane, if they're going to make you shoot the three, then that's what Dane's got to be able to give you something inside to where if they double down and then you cannot have to shoot the 20-foot threes. But you're not getting that because Coleman's not a post player. I mean, he's 6'10", 6'11", but he's not a post player, And going back to the shooting thing, I mean, I don't know. We all watch the same game, and I give Coach Underwood credit because he's trying to – he'll say the right things to these guys mentally. But there's a reason that some guys on this team are open. I watched his body motion today on the sideline, and I'm telling you, there was 2 or 3 shots where guys who shouldn't be shooting, not going to say their names, you can see it. He was frustrated.
Well, you can say it. It's fine. Sincere Harris is one of them.
Okay, thank you, buddy.
Terrence Shannon from 34 feet. I mean, there's one from deep. Epps sometimes with guys draped on him.
That was the poster. I don't get it. The poster dunk came off of Epps.
He made one, and then he took a heat check.
Right, exactly, exactly.
And then you think – I mean, Sincere would know, and it's no disrespect because we love the kid, but there's a reason there's nobody within 15 feet of you, son. I mean, and it stinks. And defensive, Brad, I mean, everybody's upset with Coach Underwood, but I want to say this. Look at all the teams that Illinois played. They can make open shots. They can't. They just can't. And this was supposed to be a good shooting team. They can't. The only guy on this team that we're all different, have different opinions. The only guy on this team I don't give a shit shooting ball, sorry, is Matthew Meyer. Anybody else, I cringe. And I mean anybody else. Because I don't know if it's gonna go in because Matthew is at least block it out of his head. Luke hasn't been around long enough. Terrence Shannon is great one game, but then the next day he's not. Matthew's been pretty consistent. And it's frustrating to me because as soon as they make you happy, they break your heart. And I feel bad because at the end of the day, this loss stinks. There's nothing good about it. And record this, put it on a poster board, billboard, and Champaign. I have no complaints about the officiating today because that didn't cost so long.
Yeah, that didn't cost. The officiating was erratic, but it was erratic on both teams. I mean,
they were consistent.
Yeah,
they were consistent. And yeah, I'm not mad about that.
I saw some bizarre, there were a couple plays that I was like Ty Rogers got away with a major lead.
Rogers got stripped. When he got stripped, that wasn't a foul. And, oh, here's one. The one where Matthew Meyer got dunked on, that was a foul. And
oh,
they
didn't call it.
That's why I said, I'm not complaining about the officiating.
Yeah.
If they're going to let him play like that, I'm cool with that.
The only play I saw, maybe there was one. I didn't think Shannon traveled on the drive.
Not at all. We replayed that at our house.
Charge block calls are like, whatever. One of them I thought was a good call. One of them was a bad call. But, you know, whatever. These guys are doing that at 100 miles an hour. I didn't think they were a problem. I thought the biggest problem was Illinois, not the three guys in stripes.
Not showing up.
But how do you not, you know, especially after the Northwestern game when you didn't show up in the first half, how do you not show up for the first half in this game? I'm stunned.
Me too.
And they came out in 5-0, and you thought, okay. But then I think sometimes it's like when they get off to too good, they got that 5-0 lead. It was almost like they went into coast mode because they thought, oh, these guys suck. We're going to beat them. They've lost 9 in a row. And I really think this team does that. They think this team's not that good, and then they don't compete the way they should. And then you try and compete, and it doesn't matter how good you are. If you have given them a 15-point head start, it is difficult to come back. And you expend how much energy you expend to get it to 53-52 there. You expend so much energy, and then you all it takes Ohio State make a couple of tough shots. And I will give Ohio State credit. They hit some tough fadeaway twos, some tough, you know, contested threes. They hit a few really tough shots against the Illinois defense. Yeah, they got some easy ones too, but I mean, they hit some tough shots, so give them credit. But, you know, I don't see Illinois doing those same things. Meyer sometimes hits a tough three, but generally speaking, they don't make open ones. They get to the rim and they miss layups, they miss hook shots, they miss jumpers, they miss. I mean, it's just really, it's really sad, and it's because this team has a lot of potential, and I do think, and Matt Stevens actually said this the other day, and he's right. Last year's team, no matter what the situation, they guarded people because they knew they had to, and they had shooters like Plummer and Grandison and, you know, Trent Frazier, and they had some good shooters, obviously, but they still guarded. Well, this team, they don't always give 100% effort when shots aren't going in. They like need shots to go in to get their energy level where it needs to be. And whether it's getting to the downhill and getting to the rim, getting an and one, they play with energy. And I thought that, you know, I thought the Shannon fourth foul really took away a lot of life. I would not have taken him out.
I agree.
Because you needed to keep him in the game at that point. Now, I thought that was a mistake, and I think it showed out because, if I recall, they went on a 7-0 run right then, or 5 or 7-0 run, something like that, 6-0 run, right after Shannon goes out with that fourth foul. And yeah, he fouled out anyway, but, you know, so you didn't play him, so you wouldn't have to not play him later, even though you had to not play him later. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, and look, you know, you guys remember I was blowing the whistle in mid to late November that this team wasn't a shooting team. And the frustration is that when I see guys miss like this, that especially when it's like front of the rim, back of the rim stuff, that tells me that in practice, when they practice by themselves, their pace is too slow. And so when they get in the game, they get speeded up just a little bit. And that speed is what makes you, you know, miss by back of the rim, front of the rim. And I remember telling kids when I coached them, if you're shooting by yourself, you almost have to feel like you're shooting so fast that you're rushed to basically, you know, make up for the game situation. And it's frustrating because it's not like, you know, they look half the time, they look like they're going to go in, and then you get the bang off the front or the bang off the back.
But so, and I get that what you're saying, but so which guy would you say that? I think Epps is a guy you might be talking about, like right here. Like when I look at Jaden Epps, I see that from him a lot. He's a lot of front iron, back iron, right? That makes sense. I don't think that's true. Meyer always is shooting step backs. I mean, he almost never takes a normal three.
Right.
So I doubt he practices. I don't even know it matters what he practices, because he shoots the most unorthodox shots ever.
Right. When he practices, you don't care about what it looks like. You care about the results as a coach.
Right, right. Yeah, he's different.
Yep.
But, you know, Coleman Hawkins, I don't think he ever has to rush a three because he's wide open.
Yeah, because he's taking him from 30 feet. You wonder what he would be.
Yeah, exactly.
If every one of his shots was 4 feet closer, what would he be shooting right now? I don't know.
Yeah I think that might – RJ, that makes sense a little bit too.
Yeah, RJ and Epps were the two –
Harris just can't make shots. He's wide open. I mean, he can't get more open than he is. Like, they don't even put a guy on that half of the floor sometimes.
Yeah, he's just got to put, I hate to say it, but he's got to put his head down. The other thing I would tell a guy like him is, you're going to drive because they're waiting for you, right? Yep. So if you're going to drive, if you're going to go airborne, make it a 2 foot where you stop, jump straight up and try to pass off of that. Because if you're going towards the basket, I mean, I'm going to say this one last time, and it doesn't matter whether it's Illinois or Ohio State. If I was the god of basketball, I would eliminate the help charge, because nobody wants to watch somebody beat their defender, and the only reward is some doofy guy slides in underneath them to get a call for some reason. You know, what people want to see is they want to see what Matt Meyer tried to do to Sensenball, which is go up at the rim and see if you can block his shot. If you had more of those instead of this wussy charge crap that gets called, and it would make it so much easier for the refs, because they wouldn't have to make these judgment calls.
Well, exactly. And here's the thing. They can help. They can be in that position and make him shoot over him.
But you're not going to get the charge.
Don't get a charge, right? Yeah. I mean, get rid of that smiley face crap and just say it's not going to be a charge if it's a help defender. Like, I get it. A guy hooks, that's a charge. Guy lowers a shoulder, that's a charge. But these guys jumping in the air to go make an athletic play, and we get some little guy running in there, so, oh, look at me, I drew a charge. And we celebrate it. It's like, and I get it, because I drew, like, I think my senior year, I don't even know, like 36 drawn charges or something like that.
I set a record for my team, and I can guarantee you one thing, even my parents didn't enjoy watching that.
Exactly. It wasn't fun, but it was effective, right? So that's what you did. So, but change it. Make it a more free-flowing game. I think it would be better. I agree with that. I do think that Illinois needs to find a way to make – Dane Danger has to be a factor on offense. Like, he's irrelevant. Yes. Like, you know, and I say this, I'm not trying to say this in a bad way towards Dane, but basically he was a mismatch today for Ohio State. I mean, Okpara played 8 minutes and Dane played 9.
But
they could not play Dane because he wasn't a factor. He has to be a factor to score, because if he doesn't score, then you can't play him on defense against the small ball lineup.
But in the last 5 games, he has developed Kofi-itis from his freshman year. Dane cannot catch a ball or keep it in his hands. How many times have we seen him, you know, and it wasn't happening at the start of the year, but if you look at how many times the ball hits him in the hand that he just can't control it, or he's got the ball, somebody, you know, tips it, or the pass comes in and he goes down to the floor scrambling to pick it up. Somehow he's got all of a sudden he can't catch a basketball, and I don't get it.
And also, when he's in the post, teams are sending double teams at him, and he's not the greatest passer in the world out of the double team. That's something he has to work on in the offseason. And everybody on the team, whether they stay on campus or not, I hope they all shoot 6,000 free throws. I just do. I'm just sick of watching this team not shoot. I know it's frustrating. And at the end of the day, I mean – Brad, you mentioned about them. How can you not come out motivated to play? People want to blame him on Brad Underwood. I can't. Damn it, you're in college, man. You're playing at the Big Ten level. You're on CBS on a Sunday game on national TV, and you come out flat like that. You shouldn't need your coach to go out there and say anything, because what he doesn't do, he hasn't yelled at him, hasn't said anything to him. So for the fans who like seeing that, I hope you're happy, because he doesn't do it. So they should be motivated themselves, because I guarantee it. I know all three of us right now, I know we're upset and I know we're mad. I know we're not happy with the loss. So I know other people feel that way. They have to make shots, and maybe they're not as good as we think. And maybe we just need to admit that.
Yep. Well, but I will say one thing. I'm going to do a little bit of, I don't necessarily like the way that, and I know they use analytics, all this stuff. I don't like that they do the same thing over and over. I think other teams, that's why you see guys have career days and you let them go off, because they know how Illinois is going to defend every ball screen with danger in the game at the start. And they just come and attack it. Today it was Thornton. Eventually you have to say, you know what? You know, because if you run the same actions and he just gets that pull-up jump shot over and over and over and over, you run that like 1,000 times than 2 days before the game. Now he gets in the game, he's gonna make that shot every time. Then he gets going, and now he has confidence. They need to change something. Do something different. Just give a different show. If maybe they're not capable, I'm not going to say, maybe they just don't think the game well enough, and maybe they're not capable of changing, but they have to do something different to start with on the defensive end so teams don't come out on heaters, you know, repeatedly. But I just don't, you know, I agree with you, Ked. It's not on the coaching staff to do that. And the people are saying, like, God, Brad Underwood can't coach, or he doesn't know anything about basketball. God, stop. Like, it's like people forgot. Like, and here's the problem. And I'm going to – this is kind of going out. Maybe Illinois – hey, people can be mad at me. They can not follow me on Twitter. I don't care. There's too many
– Follow me.
There's – these guys have – like, they're like, oh, well, they don't know what they're doing. They don't do – do you – it's like they don't comprehend that you can't, like – you can't micromanage college basketball. Like, you guys have to go out there and play. It's a free-flowing game. It's not high school basketball. It's not junior high basketball. It's not the same thing. Guys have to go out and make plays. And you put them in a position to succeed, and you try to success. And I think that Illinois fans right now are so – like, I don't even know – like, I get it. Like, this team is – I think the problem was, I said it earlier – if they'd have beat Penn State, Missouri, and lost to UCLA and Texas, they would have been right with the same record. And maybe they beat Ohio State today. They you know, slightly better record maybe. But the reality is this: they are what they are. This is a team that lost all five starters from last year. They're about to make what would be their fourth consecutive NCAA tournament after a span from 2014 to 2019 where they did not make an NCAA tournament for 6 years. You don't suddenly turn into Kentucky. You don't turn into Baylor overnight.
North Carolina.
Well, they can't say use them either. But you don't. But I mean, and that should be, like, for everybody should realize that every program now is going to have some downtimes. It happens. Illinois is 6 years. They lost all the luster. People's like, well, people don't care now. You know what? Whatever. Then don't care. But the reality is this. Teams are going to have down stretches. This team lost five starters. They lost, like, some ungodly, like 90% of their scoring or something from last year. I mean, Coleman Hawkins is the leading returning scorer that they had. The expectations got high because of the wins they had in the non-conference, but we always knew that this team was going to struggle. But they're making the NCAA tournament losing five starters. You got to look at the whole picture and say, that's pretty good. You know, could it be better? It could be. Could it be worse? It could be. And that we've been there, but we've forgotten what it was like to be there.
Well, and I will say a couple things. First off, as somebody who manages large groups of people, their performance, fairly or unfairly, gets thrown at your feet as the leader of the organization. So, you know, if the team starts poorly, there's two culprits in most people's eye. One is the individual players have to do what is necessary to get themselves ready to play. And then the coach should create an environment in which they are able to be ready to play. I don't know that the coach can control any one person, but, you know, you would hope you can at least help them, in nothing else, help them get to a journey to, hey, I'm just going to pick a name here. Hey, Coleman, we need to figure out how to get you ready to play and try to help them with different alternatives, which very well is probably being done. Cause I'm certainly not around the team like you guys are. But what I would say is frustrating to me is I've always had the most success with coaching or leading groups of people if I limited the amount of things they worry about. So, like, going into a game, I would tell Coleman Hawkins, like, okay, look, if you're wide open, take a step up and take a rocker step into that thing. You know, take a dribble up and you know, dribble up and shoot it in, just like an easy practice. You know, something to get him maybe a little closer to the basket. Or I might say to you know, Epps, like, hey, you know what? If you miss your first two threes, you know, go to the dribble first. Or I'll be honest with you, I thought Thornton shredded him in the first half. And oh. I thought and so to me, I would be like, you know, we know you're not going to turn Epps into a great defensive player overnight. Is there something that we could that a coach could do to help him get a little bit better? And that's how I would look at it. The small incremental things, because you're right. This team is not suddenly going to, you know, unless they pull a UNC. And I will tell you, this is where this team is so much more frustrating for some fans, is they have the talent that if they put it all together at the same time, they could go on a North Carolina like run of last year. But we all know that we all point to the North Carolina like run of last year because it almost never happens. So that's you know, pointing to that is like looking at fool's gold.
Evidently, getting Epps to play defense just took chewing his ass at halftime, because in the second half he actually guarded people. So why can't he do that to start the game?
Exactly, and that's what, and a coach has to peel back the onion to help the player find that. So
that's where
I'm going to get on the coach. And you know, if Coach Underwood was standing here, I don't know if he would agree with me or say I was full of crap, but that's what comes along with being the head coach. Fairly or unfairly, people are going to say, well, what did you do to help these guys figure it out? Because he can't do it for them. There's no doubt. Ted?
Well, at some point in time, you know, and the clock is almost at 12 o'clock, it's time to figure it out. I mean, and Brad brings up a lot of good points. The pro fans have been spoiled, and I get it. The days of them just dominating and having a guy, 20-10 guy, or whatever the case may be, or first team All American, that was great. I mean, it's a great ride. Now we're just like everybody else, but you have the talent. And Brad Underwood told us coming into the year, this team was built for March, and it is, because let's take a step back and look at it this way: if they're shooting the basketball, we know RJ Melendez coming into the season was supposed to be a great shooter. Matthew Myers still is. I mean, granted, he didn't shoot the ball great today. I get it. I understand that. Me and Brad and I saw Jaden Epps play. He can shoot the basketball. But what is he shooting right now? 7% from the three in his last, what, five, six, seven games? And Terrence Shannon is inconsistent. And then you got a guy like, you know, we knew Ty Rogers couldn't shoot the basketball. They're just not good at that. And no matter, we can overanalyze this shooting, makes things look great, because look how well we think they play because they beat Northwestern. In reality, Terrence Shannon just got on a heater. That's all it was. He got on a heater, and then, yeah, we got to give Sincere Harris credit for playing defense. They have to make shots. At the end of the day, all this other stuff, because if you go to the tournament, I mean, teams aren't going to be able to scout you as well the second and third round games. But to be truthful with you, you got to live and survive. And I don't think they shoot the ball well enough for that. When was the last time, I'm asking you guys, that we've seen four guys out of nine guys that play that shot 42% from the field? Because I don't know when I've seen that last. I don't.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll tell you what, Jaden Epps, here's one for you. He's 3 for his last 33 if you take out the Minnesota game. He made 4 out of 6 against Minnesota. He's 3 for his last 33 outside of that game.
So that still makes him 7 for 39, which is nothing to write home about.
It's not great, which is also bad, but not as bad. At least it's approaching 20%. So
but that's that was, why they, but 3 for 33
is 9%. And so, you know, you kind of wonder, like, but, and I guess it's good that he has confidence to still shoot, but it's like, dude, eventually you're like, yeah.
I mean, so as a coach, that's where you're like, okay, guys, we're not going to shoot as many three. You know what I mean? I don't know how
I don't know how you accomplish that when teams know that you can't shoot the three, so they force you to shoot the three.
I'll tell you how I accomplish it, which probably wouldn't work. This is why I'm not a professional coach, but I'm gonna say, okay, Luke Goody's feeling better. We're going to try to press some and at least pick our spots on it. We're going to pick the pace up, and I'm going to occasionally, you talk about doing stuff differently, I'm occasionally going to send a guy on a fly so that if you get a defensive rebound, you can get the ball down court and see if you can sneak two layups, one in the first half and one in the second half. Just do something different that forces the other team.
I think the press is a good idea. I'm sorry. I've been saying that. The press, it wasn't killing them early. What was killing them early on was all the switching on defense.
Yes, I agree.
All the other games, Coleman Hawkins and Sensei Harris, and they're great in transition. It gives you I remember, and this is different, and I don't want to tell war stories. I had a team that I knew that was passive. They were just very, very passive. And I just thought, you know what? And they weren't fast. They weren't athletic. I forced them. I went to a diamond press, 1-2-2 press, just to get steals, to get easy baskets. They're not doing that. And this is not what I just had. They have athletes. They have guys that are tall. You can still press even with Dane in the back. Put them in the back right there to make them at least think about getting a layup. Those are ways that you could – because to me, Brad, you're 100% right. They've not changed anything. And everybody knows the way to beat Illinois. They know how to attack Dane. They're gonna the one guy they're gonna guard is Matthew Meyer and everybody else. And they're gonna make Coleman Hawkins prove that he can shoot this game. Because I don't know before tonight, I don't know what his percentage was, but I know it was like 25% for him shooting the three. So team, I would zone Illinois all the time. I don't care if they made one out of every six trips down the court. I really would.
Yeah, and that's certainly something to make him do. Now, Coleman was 2-for-5 tonight, so he was hitting 40% from the three. But I'll be honest with you, when I watched the game today, about the only person I was really, I don't know if happy is the right word, but I thought Coleman played well, and then I thought Rodgers played hard, and then the rest of it was kind of –
I was okay with RJ, guys. I'm sorry, compared to what we've had in the past.
Yeah, yeah.
I was okay with RJ today.
Yeah, he had the one backdoor cut where he got beat. But other than that, he was
fine. Oh, my gosh.
He just got beat really bad. But I thought he was fine defensively. McNeil made a couple of tough shots with him draped on
him. Yes, he did.
You
know? And
sometimes you just tip your cap and say, hey, great shot. But you know what we saw RJ do twice today? Put the ball on the floor and go to the basket.
Yes.
And I know he's not a great ball handler, but, man – use your athleticism and speed and attack that basket. And just want to see that. You know, the press is interesting. I don't think they can press with Dane on the floor. That's why I would start Rodgers.
Yep.
I next game I would – and I know you probably can't start – they want to play Danger against Dickinson. But I might start Rodgers. Just make them then match up with you. I mean, I just feel like maybe that's the way to go. And – I don't know, maybe it's not against Michigan, maybe that matchup, but maybe that's what you do against Purdue because you're going to post-trap ED anyway, right? And you're going to make him
throw it.
So,
or you practice that for the NCAA because I don't think – this is where I'm a little bit crazy, but there aren't many teams in the country that have the size and quickness that Illini have. If they come out and throw a press on you
– Yes.
The other thing I'll say is college basketball sucks. Like, and I'm not trying to be mean in a sense that I don't love college basketball. The teams are bad. Like, I mean,
right.
Even the really good teams aren't very good compared to teams we've seen in the past. There isn't like a team you go, gosh. I mean, look at Baylor 2 years ago and how good they were. There was nobody like that. There's nobody like Kansas last year. I mean, with the guys that they had on the wing that were, I mean, they were really good. Like, I mean, you look at they were loaded. Jalen Wilson was like the fourth option on offense, and now he's the number one option on a team that's going to has like 15 quad one wins or something crazy like that. So Kansas is really good. I don't see a team like that this year. I mean, I don't think Kansas is as good as they were last year. I don't think that Houston is as good as they were last year. I don't think that, you know, go down the list. I don't think there's anybody that is that good. So I think this is going to be an interesting NCAA tournament. I think we may see a lot. I don't think there's a huge difference. And I think that's why this seems frustrating, because if they clicked and put everything together, or if they would have taken and I don't want to get into this, but maybe they take a point guard in the portal, just a guy who can really shoot it and handle the ball and pass it and distribute whatever, they take that guy in the portal, they might be one of the top 10 teams in the country, because the difference between where Illinois is at and where they would be if they'd had just had a couple of games where they didn't completely suck, I mean, this is a team that instead of 19-10, they're like 22-7 or something. If you're 22-7, you're probably ranked in the top 10 with the wins they have. So,
well, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I think that's where the frustration probably comes, is that you had an opportunity this year to be, because the college basketball is so bad, and that also gives you an opportunity in the NCAA tournament to make a run.
Right, you talk about the transfer portal. For the people out there listening, go to IlliniGuys.com, because that's on the front page of our site. I put that story because I know it's end of the year, and the transfer portal is going to be huge, because there's some talent there and there's some glaring weaknesses, things that they have to shore up. But the one thing I guarantee you that I'm a Brad Underwood fan about right now, I'm looking for kids that can put the ball in the basket. I just am. And I want to make this comment. I was going to make this comment earlier. For the people who complain about not starting, here's why it's important when you're not starting to pay attention. To start the game with Jaden Epps got beat backdoor three times on the same play. How at this level you don't know what's coming? But then you have guys on the bench, Luke Goody and RJ Melendez, Illinois cut the lead to one, and then they ran the same play, and then you let it happen. When I coach, I always tell kids, it's not a punishment, but when you can sit and see things, you watch, you listen, and you see it developing. So when you get in the game, you don't have to let that happen. I know they gave up 8 points off that backdoor play today. And every time they fell for it, they isolated them. And then because we overplay so aggressively every single time, and when we do, they got a layup out of it. There needs to be things different. Like I said, I give Underwood credit because after the Northwestern game, the offense changed a little bit. It was totally different. But right now, I guess the killer question is going to be this. Who's going to have a career day against Illinois Thursday? Because it's going to be somebody. I mean, you can damn well bet you somebody's going to put up.
Kobe Bufkin's going to score like 400. So that's what's going to happen.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is if you go and you know, you look at it, and this Michigan's got to be get pumped to try to beat Illinois for the first time ever. And the other thing is, you know, if you look at it, you're like, you know, what is Illinois going to do if they come out flat against Michigan, who, you know, Juwan Howard hasn't had an opportunity to beat him. If Illinois comes out flat, they could be down 40 at the half, because Michigan will happily curb stomp the Illini, very similar to how Hunter Dickinson did to Tyler Wall. Did you guys see that play? Because it was amazing. And Dickinson just literally stepped on him. If you recall, didn't Illinois have somebody suspended a couple years ago for trying to step on somebody?
Yeah, the kid who ended up going to Syracuse transfer. What's his name? The guard. He ended up going to Syracuse. I forget his name. But yes, we did have that.
Yeah, This was more egregious than what I thought he was accused of doing. If you take a look at the clips that are out there that may have been text to you. I mean, that is unbelievable. So who knows? Maybe Hunter won't be playing and Illinois can go small ball. I have a hard time believing the Big Ten is going to look at that film and not do something. And Hunter Dickinson, I like him because he's the only guy in college sports who – whether there's no common sense at all, he says what's on his mind. And I value him for that, but that is just a foolish move. And you know, if he would have pulled that off properly, you know, he could have really hurt somebody.
Yeah. I've not seen that yet, but I'm sure it will. But you know what? Yeah, I'll tell you what Michigan won't do. If they get a chance to put up 50 on Illinois in the first half or beat them by 50, they're going to. So this is bad timing for them to come out to do what they do. They're going to come around, dribble the basketball around, miss open shots, and they're going to be down. They're going to be – and Hunter Dickinson is going to play. Brad, you're right. You need something from Dane. He cannot continue to sit on the bench and not give you anything. It's going to be a long few days in the Big Ten tournament. Right now, there's a lot of bitter fans, and they should be. This has not been the team that we all thought that we were going to see.
So, yeah, we're looking. The next game up for Illinois is obviously Michigan, and that's coming up on, what, Thursday night?
Yeah.
So,
6 p.m. Central time.
Yep, 6 p.m. Central, and that would be the last home game of the season. And it would be a shame to lose to Michigan anytime, but particularly in the last home game of the season. ESPN game, Illinois plays CBS today. Unfortunately, everybody saw that. Play on the main ESPN on Thursday, and then they play on Fox's national game next Sunday. So two more tough games, and they're going to be on national TV where you can either make a name for yourself or maybe show people potential transfer players that there are opportunities for minutes.
Yeah. You know? I think what you want to do is you want to try and get at least one of these two, win at least one game of the Big Ten tournament, go from there, everything else gravy. Yep. Kind of lock yourself in as a pretty solid, you know, maybe you could, I still think they win beat Michigan, you know, and if they beat Purdue, obviously that would be a big if, but if they can beat Michigan and then, you know, win a game or two in the Big Ten tournament, you set yourself up to be, have a chance to win that first round game and get a team maybe that you can beat in the second round. And you know, see what happens in the NCAA tournament. Like we said, teams make runs all the time. Upsets happen. This is a team that can pull upsets. We know that because we've seen that. But they're also a team that could lose the first round game. So we'll just have to see how they play and see how it goes. I feel like, you know, that's where you just got to start clicking though. And it's just I don't know what I understand a lot of these guys, they don't have a lot of experience. I mean, outside of Meyer and Shannon, they don't have a lot of experience. And both of those guys were complementary guys in their previous spots. So they don't have anybody who's kind of playing the same role they would normally play. And they, you know, don't have anybody for that matter. So I think it's hard. And they just haven't, I don't think they've gelled as well as you hope they would gel going into the season. But now you got a chance. Finish the next game and see what happens.
Part of that is there's no and look, we talk about this all the time. It's not fair, but you know, Io was a big time leader, and I think people really appreciate how much of a leader Trent Frazier was. And you know, you can't make somebody a leader. They have to earn that title. And again, I'm not saying anybody on this team is not a good player, et cetera. But right now there's not that alpha dog who can both be a great leader and be good enough to be on the floor for 30 minutes of a game.
Yeah, and the ones who, you know, I think Ty Rogers could be, but he's a freshman. Right. Freshman's right. Not going to be your leader. I mean, you know, you're not going to go very far if your freshman's your leader. So, you know, down the road in a year or two, he could be.
Ted, you got any final thoughts?
Final thought for me is I pray, and also with sports, that somebody doesn't have a career day Thursday. I'm sorry. Very disappointing day today on national TV. Not happy about it one bit. And Thursday is gut check time for me. Today, I'm looking at this, and I'm not giving up, but I saw things today that I have concerns about moving forward in the tournament. You know, when you get a chance, you know, we've all talked about this. Illinois does Illinois things, you know, falling on the floor, not making shots. They can't – things just don't go their way, and – you know, sometimes you got to make your own luck, and maybe it's not luck, but I'm not going to blame all on the players. I'm not going to blame all on the coach. I think it's a combination of things, and then they do some soul searching. Whether it's going to happen or not remains to be seen.
Brad?
Yes, I just think you have a Michigan game at home, senior night for a couple of guys. Just go out and take care of business, get it done, and then see what happens at Purdue. You would have liked to go on in there with a little streak, but you know, this is where there's no excuse for not coming out fired up against Michigan. Doesn't mean you're always going to win, but you got to play hard. You got to defend. You got to rebound. You got to be active. And you got to, you know, you got to play like smart. And that's what they need to do because those are all things you control. You can't control the ball going in the basket. That's part of basketball. You're not going to shoot it well sometimes, and especially if you're a bad shooter, you might shoot it well. But, you know, the other parts you can control. You can control blocking out. You control knowing defensive assignments, understanding scouting. That's all things you control. That's what they got to take care of heading into Michigan, and then we'll see what happens.
Yeah, the way I look at it is each of these players and the coaches have to really walk away from this saying, you know, what could I do to get a better result the next game? And they've got to really put themselves up in the mirror. And 9 times out of 10, most people can tell you where they make their mistakes. And you have to look at the mirror, and sometimes it's a hard thing to do, and decide what you're going to do different or better to get better results, you know, and so that's what the team has facing them. Of course, we'll be there. You know, you'll get us after the game, 6 p.m. On Thursday. And, of course, on the in-between, we have a lot of stories coming at IlliniGuys.com. Of course, we have coverage of the Illini's women basketball team, who is kicking butt. And, of course, we have different articles. Sturdy has his takeaways. And Ked has been on endless watch of talking with recruits. So there's going to be a lot of those stories this week. So if you're into football and basketball recruiting, IlliniGuys.com is where you really want to be. So we're going to stop now for a commercial break, and we'll be right back.
A tradition of excellence over 150 years in the making. At Busey Bank, we're committed to building relationships that span generations. Wherever your journey in life leads you, we are with you along the way, creating a legacy for you and your family. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868, proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
And if you enjoyed this Eye on the Illini podcast, we'd ask you to do a couple things. Share it on your social media. The more people who get a chance to listen to it, the better off it is for us to get our word out there about IlliniGuys.com. And that's what fuels Eye on the Illini. That's where you can keep up on everything Illini related, whether you live in Chicago or Champaign, halfway across the world, or halfway across the universe. If you get a subscription to Illini Guys, you can keep right up to date with everything Illini. Go to IlliniGuys.com to subscribe now. Also, Illini Guys Sports Spectacular is our two-hour radio show. That's with Brad Sturdy, Larry Smith, and myself, along with Matt Stevens and Kedrick Prince. We will go through a bunch of what is going on with Illinois and around the Big Ten. You don't want to miss it. Go to IlliniGuys.com, hit the radio button. There will take you to a list of stations. Find the one closest to you. Look on what day they broadcast it, Friday or Saturday, and look for what time to tune in. If you enjoy the broadcast, please go ahead and send an email or a phone call over to the station. Thank them for having us on the air. The Illini Guys Sports Spectacular, the weekly extravaganza. And last week, we had on Andy Katz from the Big Ten Network. It was a lot of fun talking to him. Go ahead and look at it. We have a podcast as well. Listen to what he had to say. He was a great guest. We will be back Thursday night after the 6 p.m. game, the home finale against the dreaded Michigan Wolverines. It should be a good one, and boy, we hope Illinois starts off and plays a full game. That would be a great way to close out senior night and the home season for the Illini. We will look for you on Thursday evening. Thank you very much, and go Illini.